Hey there, I've got something a little different for you today. I've been listening to this new podcast. It's called Redacted, Declassified Mysteries, and it's been blowing my mind. The host, Luke LaManna, has this incredible knack for uncovering these wild, little-known stories from history. Like, did you know the U.S. government secretly brought over former Nazi scientists after World War II to help advance military technology? Or that in the 1950s, the Army conducted a hush-hush biological experiment by releasing bacteria over San Francisco without ever telling the public? These aren't just conspiracy theories. They're real, documented cases that were buried in classified files for decades. Each week, Luke pulls back the curtain on stuff like this: covert experiments, secret operations, unsettling connections that have had a huge impact on the world. The kind of stuff that makes you go, how have I never heard about this before? I just listened to a recent episode, and it's absolutely fascinating. Luke has a way of digging into these hidden truths and bringing them to life in a really engaging way. If you're into that deep dive into the shadowy side of history, I can't recommend Redacted Declassified Mysteries enough. I'm about to play you a clip from Redacted Declassified Mysteries with Luke LaManna, but while you're listening, be sure to follow the show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. For ad-free access, you can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
On July 19, 1953, Kermit Roosevelt stood at the border crossing between Iraq and Iran, enjoying a cigarette outside of the cement Border Patrol building that marked the entry point into Iran. Semi-trucks rumbled along the highway while Border Patrol agents checked papers and cargo trailers before granting them entry into the country. Kermit took a final drag on the cigarette, then stomped it out and walked into the dull beige-painted Iranian government building. His driver was already inside, standing at a Border Patrol agent's desk. The agent was going over their paperwork with a fine-tooth comb. By the time Kermit reached his driver, the agent was already looking over Kermit's passport. He asked Kermit a few questions about his reasons for visiting Iran and scribbled down his answers on a beat-up clipboard that had seen better days. Kermit smiled to himself, amused by the thought that government buildings were dingy and miserable, no matter what country you were in. He watched as the agent read over the description box on his passport and clearly misunderstood what the information meant. On the entry paperwork, Kermit saw the agent write Mr. Scar on right forehead, as if that was his name. Kermit smirked and decided it was a good omen, a sign that he would enter this country the same way he planned to leave it, unidentified and unaccounted for. Kermit wasn't planning on using his real name anyway. He was a CIA operative here on a covert mission. That bunk passport named him as James Lockridge, the pseudonym he'd been using while he was in Iran. The CIA had assigned Kermit an enormous task: to covertly orchestrate the overthrow of the Iranian government and oust their new prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh. Kermit saw this as a grand adventure, and one he was excited to undertake. Kermit descended from a long line of adventurous men. His grandfather, Theodore Roosevelt, was world famous for his big game hunting expeditions and his exploits leading a volunteer cavalry unit called the Rough Riders in the Spanish-American War. Now it was finally Kermit's turn to seize greatness, to do the impossible and take his place alongside his famous grandfather. Kermit had spent the past few days brushing up on the assignment. He was only mildly surprised to learn that the coup was initially proposed by British intelligence, also known as MI6. But once he thought about it, MI6's involvement made a lot of sense. It turned out that British agents had already been in Iran for several years, working on something called Operation Boot, which was a ploy to oust Mossadegh from power and install a prime minister more aligned with the West. And more importantly, Western business interests. For decades, the West had profited from Iranian oil, essentially becoming shareholders in the world's most profitable oil fields. But Mossadegh was changing that. Ever since he came to power 2 years ago, he'd been nationalizing Iranian oil, keeping that money for Iran instead of letting the West siphon its resources. This new policy threatened American interests and put a real dent in the Western economy. So the British coup plan was put in motion. But there was a snag. Somehow, Prime Minister Mossadegh had found out about the coup and kicked all the British diplomats out of Iran about 9 months ago, in October 1952. That set off a chain reaction of events, culminating in the CIA getting involved, which is why Kermit Roosevelt was standing before a Border Patrol agent's desk, craving another cigarette. He fished the pack of Iraqi-branded Marlboros out of his pocket. As he lit a cigarette, he watched two Border Patrol agents search the back of a livestock truck. He took a drag of the cigarette and reviewed his assignment in his head, going over the details he'd painstakingly digested. This mission had come directly from President Dwight Eisenhower, the new American president. At some point in the first half of 1953, MI6 had approached Eisenhower and convinced him that a coup in Iran was in America's best interest. A few phone calls later, and Kermit found himself in the backseat of a car, driving toward this remote border crossing 300 miles west of Tehran. He was trying to enter Iran with the express purpose of overthrowing its government. Kermit's boss had said the coup was necessary to squelch Mossadegh's supposed communist leanings and secure democracy and the blessings of liberty in the Middle East and blah blah blah. Kermit didn't believe a word of it. But Kermit knew that his opinion didn't matter. He did what his superiors told him to do. 10 minutes later, the Iranian border agent let Kermit enter the country, and Kermit and his driver were back into their dust-coated car and headed for Tehran. They drove all afternoon, speeding through vast deserts and farms and rural communities, until finally, just as dusk fell over the desert, the high-rise buildings and soaring minarets of Tehran appeared on the horizon. Kermit felt a rush of excitement course through him. His great adventure was about to begin.
You can listen to Redacted, Declassified Mysteries with Luke LaManna early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.